Dan Ralph joins me to talk all things CFL from the Canadian Press. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You?
Excellent. It's Positive Friday. Got to be in a good mood. Hey,
yeah, true.
I'm not as in a good mood as the people of Cleveland, I wasn't thinking, but I'm close. I'm in a pretty good mood.
Yes.
Cleveland right now is celebrating, as they should. Dan, I guess the first one, it's 2 weeks, and some teams, of course, only played one game, Calgary and Ottawa, but Winnipeg's 2-0. They're in Montreal. Montreal didn't look great the first week. They bounced back. Through 2 weeks, though, the BC Lions have looked awful, especially their offensive line, and they are banged up. They might get some guys back healthy, but it's very early on in the year. Do you think Winnipeg or BC, does one of those swap, or is this a year that Winnipeg's maybe better than people think?
Well, I think I'm stunned with BC, to be honest with you. Pick them to make the playoffs in the West, and wow. You know what? Winnipeg, I thought, would be improved. I did not see this coming, but I thought they would be better, and I think they will be better, but I think they're going to come back to earth sooner or later. Having said that, though, I like what they've done. You know, they've given Drew Willie the opportunity to make plays, and he's got some playmakers, especially on offense with him. So, you know what? It's early, and I'm not going to say that BC's not going to make it to the playoffs, and Winnipeg is going to go 18-0 because we all know this is a prototypical marathon, not a sprint. But early on, yeah, I think those two teams are the surprising teams for obvious reasons so far.
You look at Winnipeg and Drew Willie, like, you do not see quarterbacks come in and have that good of starts to their career. Like, the last guy I can think of was Ricky Ray. Like, a lot of guys take a few games, not their first two games when you're having over 300 passing yards in both games and having two victories. I know it's very early, but you rarely see this. So is Drew Willie better than we think?
I don't know how good we think he was because we haven't seen him, right? So, I mean, I remember watching him when he played for the University of Buffalo. They were here in Toronto for the International Bowl, and that year he led his conference in passing, and he was a very good quarterback. So I'm not sure what to expect from Drew. I think the first game of the year, you know, you have that momentum, you have that jump. I don't like putting evaluations on players until we get to Labor Day. And I think that's when the real season begins. That's when we start to see some trends emerging throughout the league. And that's who we start, you know, we start to see who the players are that are starting to, separate from the pack, so to speak. I mean, early on, it's, you know, some guys look really, really good. Some guys look really, really bad. And I think the pendulum tends to come the other way. And then by the midway point or by the end of September, we get a pretty good idea of what to expect going down the stretch.
Dan Ralph joins us. Jim Popp in Montreal, it was a very unique situation because he was in the running for the head coach. He didn't get it, so then he didn't really have say in who the head coach was. That never happens in pro football. What do you think of that situation long-term in Montreal?
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, there had been a whole lot of talk that somehow Mr. Popp and Mr. Wettenhall, there was some sort of disconnect there, and that maybe – maybe Jim had fallen out into disfavor with the ownership. 3 years is, it's probably the standard length that you give a GM that's coming back. So you give him a fair and ample opportunity to replenish or to rebuild or to maintain a certain winning percentage and level. So, I wasn't surprised, but I was. Because Jim's affinity for the National Football League the last couple of years has been front and center, and he's been very, very open, in fact, to the idea that, you know, he would entertain an NFL offer, and that probably doesn't sit well with his current employer, who would like him to stay where he's at and continue the job that he's been doing for the last almost 20 years with that organization. So, I was surprised and yet not surprised, because I think you don't want to be changing GMs two or three games into the season, especially when you got a new head coach. But knowing that Jim was going to be your guy moving forward, I don't know why you waited until almost third game of the season in his last year under contract to renew the deal. So there are some very, you know, as you said, it's a very perplexing situation, and that development was somewhat surprising to me that it even got to this point to allow you and I to talk about it.
Yeah, Dan, the situation right now in Ontario, Toronto doesn't know what their future holds as far as a stadium, and Hamilton's stadium's delayed now at least two games. Any update? Is it only going to be delayed two games? And what's the biggest delay in Hamilton right now?
Well, apparently, you know, I mean, we had a hard winter in Ontario. You know, so I'm sure the Western Canada looks and shakes their head when I say that. But it did delay construction, and much like the same problem that escalated in Manitoba with, you know, the winter and the weather wreaking havoc on construction of Investors Group Field. So we're told that they will definitely be playing in Hamilton on Labor Day, and that the new field will be ready. So, you know, I have to take them at their word. They're much more knowledgeable of this than I, but I do know that if you drive by there now and you take a look and where there should be artificial turf, it's nothing but dirt. So, I mean, you can't play there right now. That's about all I know.
Well, it's not looking good at all. And, you know, I understand the delays in construction, and maybe they should have scheduled although they did, you know, they had the bye week and everything. This is the best they can do unless they're planning on playing like four games on the road to start the season.
Yeah, but see, it's interesting, right? I mean, I look at Ottawa. Ottawa, you know, started construction on TD Place last year, and I get that there was existing infrastructure there and what have you, but, you know, we're going to be starting in Ottawa on, you know, next week, and they have a brand new stadium. It's not done, like, it's not 100% done, but it's going to be playable, and, you know, that seemed to go on schedule, and I would argue with you that Ottawa's in a much more, you know, weather-related zone than Southern Ontario, and yet they managed to get it done. So, again, wiser minds than me know what construction delays are all about. So,
when you look at Ottawa's situation, I'm assuming the first game, I heard it's already sold out, and a lot of the games are sold out. How is football going to be different this time in Ottawa? Why will it be more successful, or will it be more successful?
Well, I got to believe, well, it will be more successful because it has to be. I mean, you know, this is their third kick at the cat, so to speak. And I think the thing that this group's got going for it is that its ownership is solid. Its ownership is non-evasive. Its ownership has experience in sports ownership and sports, you know, the operation of a sports entity in the Canadian capital. And, you know, Jeff Hunt is regarded as a marketing guy who knows how to promote and how to get the word about town regarding his sports entity. So, I mean, you take a look at the ownership that was there with the Gleibermans and Roy Firestone Bruce Firestone, sorry, and Horn Chen, and then there's a litany of bad ownership, you know, to be in the Canadian capital. Now we've got an ownership group that has the financial resources to make this work, has a very nice and a very modern stadium to play out of, is starting from scratch, has a GM who's got previous CFL experience, has a head coach with a CFL coaching pedigree, has a proven quarterback, and has 30 players on its roster with CFL experience. And I think all the bridge or all the bricks are there to build the foundation so that this is done right, and this is done, you know, right for the long term. And because if this doesn't work, I'll be honest with you, then I think the Canadian Football League is dead in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, I don't think three times a charm. I don't think they're coming back for a fourth time. But
I agree.
The fan base, you know, in Ottawa, historically, it's not like it's a great sports market. They've got some sports fans, no doubt about it, but, you know, it's not a diehard, passionate one. You talked about Hunt and his ability to maybe connect with the fan base. Is that what they have to do? You know, maybe bring out the people that have sat on the fence over the years and actually connect with Ottawa and maybe even people in Hull?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think the best way to do that, though, is to have a competitive product on the field, an entertaining product on the field, a product that, you know, in its first year is not going to win you know, 10 or 15 games, but it's probably going to be in 10 or 12 games and be, you know, exciting and be thrilling and be entertaining throughout the process. And that, you know, that you don't have to worry about the management and or the ownership making headlines by making some questionable moves or questionable statements. And I think if the emphasis remains on football, on the field, and the on-field product is competitive and entertaining and plays the game the way it should be, then I think the people in Ottawa will gravitate toward that because they've been very, very patient and very, very long-suffering. And they've, let's face it, they had to endure some pretty bad football for a long, long time. And you know what? They're still coming.
Dan, one last one for you. What's your thoughts? Do you think Jerome Messam has anything left?
Oh, yes. I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that he does. I'm surprised. I temper that. When he got released from Montreal, I thought the best fit for him was Regina because they have a very big offensive line, an athletic offensive line, and that offense is run-oriented first. And I think he's big. He's got that combination that you can't coach, and that he's big and he's fairly quick. And, he's tough to bring down. And I think with that offensive line in front of him, I thought that would be a very good compliment. Now, the kid they had in there, Anthony Allen, isn't it? I'm having a blank here.
Yeah.
But the kid that they brought in, I mean, he had a great, a great debut with 150-plus yards. So I think it just reinforced my thought that, you know, with that offensive line in front of you, that I think you and I could probably rush for 100 yards. But you get a guy with the athletic ability of a Jerome Messam, then, you know, I think then that's a match, a very, very good match. And I think he will excel in that. And I think he does have something left. Yes, he's had injuries the last few years, but I think when he's healthy, I think he's good enough that I think he could succeed there, and we could see him regain the form he did when he was the top Canadian in this league.
Interesting, yeah. I think, you know, that I thought that was a perfect storm here in Edmonton. And Messam's biggest problem isn't his athleticism; it's more so between his ears. It's times for him to be disciplined and focused. And
it's funny though. I mean, I knew him when he was a younger man because where I live, he grew up not far from, and I watched him play minor football. And I would have argued with you, yeah, that you know what, that there were some issues above the shoulders. But, you know, I just think that the times I've dealt with him since he's come back to the Canadian Football League, I found him to be more humble and I found him to be more we-oriented and not me-oriented. And I don't deal with him every day, so maybe I don't see him as often as you guys did when he was there. But I thought he's come around 180 degrees compared to where I used to see him. And you know what? I think this might be a very humbling experience for him and teach him something that, you know, this is a privilege. It's not a right. And, you had to deal without for the first 2 weeks. And I think you'll get a new appreciation of football in general.
Well, that's definitely true. And obviously going to the defending champs, a team that has won, he'll be the backup. He'll basically replace Hughes, who's injured. And if he gets on the field and makes good, not only could he maybe do some success there, but it likely gives him another opportunity for a team, potentially like an Ottawa or somebody else. You know, because if you can get a starting Canadian running back, it sure helps your ratio.
Sure does. It gives you a lot of options. That is true.
Dan, good to talk to you. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.